The next item on the agenda is Milton Point LC 082199. Stay. Their name. You received any opposition to this project?
Yes, sir. I think I can go through it fairly quickly. There's a couple of unique things about this project that you may not be aware of. Hopefully you will after today. This is an application in Ottawa County by Milton Point LC requesting authorization to construct three stone breakwaters, two being 160 feet in length and one 130 feet, and up to 150 feet of riprap revetment at the applicant's property, which covers two 911 addresses at Morgan's Beach in Ottawa County. This project does require a dunes and beaches permit under the recent code change. Ottawa has not adopted the ordinance yet, so you will be acting as the Beaches and Dunes Board. And portions of the project also require a sub-acres permit. This is provided by the applicant, a chart with the location. The site is here, in what's known as the Morgan's Beach area of Ottawa County. Hagen River is off to the right here on the slide. And this is Burroughs Bay, Tyler's Beach, access channel and boat ramp are in this location. Again, this is from the Fijian aerials. And I made a broad perspective here because I wanted you to see that in this general shoreline reach, there are quite a few breakwater structures already installed, both to the west and east. This is the Luter property and the airstrip. It's been hardened a number of years ago with breakwaters. And then there's a series of residences here. And then there's a park that the county owns that had the structures built. And then this is Smithfield on the James, a residential subdivision that also had breakwaters installed. So this is kind of a continuation of structures along this reach of the river. This is a little closer view of the actual property. This property was originally an FFA camp. And basically the property that we're dealing does go across this road, but obviously we're talking about this section that's next to the water. The property line basically runs along this alignment and goes down to a ravine here that drains some of this upland property. The project itself is basically from approximately here to the adjoining property. These are numerous structures from the old camp. You might want to note this is a swimming pool and a pool house, which is very, very close to the edge of the road bank. And they are trying to actually save, you know, that structure as part of the project. Again, there would be two breakwater, 160-foot breakwaters and 130-foot breakwater. The breakwaters would be located, you know, in series in this location. Because of the structures and the close proximity to the edge of the bluff, the applicant has attempted to grade the bank back as far as possible without threatening the structures. But because of the close nature, some portions of this project are actually being pushed out into subaqueous land, so there will be some fill, beach fill, in addition to the breakwaters. But as you'll see in plan view, there's some definite rationale for that type of approach here. Specifically, this is the plan view, which breaks it down into sort of the different sections. And we'll look at these sections later, A, B, and C. But first, a general overview. This is the approximate current mean low water line, this thin line here, and the mean high water. And this is a vertical bluff. It's 20 to 35 feet high. You'll see in the ground spots, it drops straight off. Again, the upland structures, this is the pool house and the pool. The agent for the project, Jim Gunn, this is a Jim Gunn project, has attempted to scallop the grading areas into the land as far as possible without threatening the structures. And obviously where there are structures, he's basically just not really doing much grading at all, but will be doing a 2-to-1 slope, creating a sloped area behind the breakwaters. This is the section of the riprap that will tie into the adjoining property owner, which has some riprap structure on its shoreline as well. This is the AA cross-section, which is at the upper end of, the lower end of the project, adjacent to the adjoining property owner where the riprap structure will be. Again, some of the bank will be cut and sloped, and then a riprap toe to stabilize that and tie into the adjoining property owner. The BB section is representative of what the shoreline will look like in the gaps between the breakwaters. So you'll have a low filled beach area. They are proposing to plant Spartina patens in the upper reach of the beach area, and then obviously cut the bank and slope it at a 2-to-1. A section behind the breakwaters, directly behind the breakwaters, of course you see the breakwater structure. Again, some clean beach fill. More plantings here, obviously, because you have more beach. It's going all the way up to the breakwater. Again, with Spartina patens and American beechgrass in the upper reaches, and pursuant to some county requirements, they'll be planting some other listed vegetation here in relation to the Chesapeake Bay Act. Again, a 2-to-1 slope, but here it'll be fill instead of cutting the bank. They'll actually bring fill in. And this is where a majority of the encroachment into state-owned subaqueous land will occur. Again, a little more detailed section of the riprap revetment. Again, this will be a 1.5-to-1 slope, and then typical construction of breakwater structures with the very large armor-sized stone. This section of the river has a considerable fetch, both to the northeast and the southeast, so it can get hammered in storms pretty heavily, and you'll realize that when you look at the shoreline. I apologize for the fuzziness of the picture, but this is a Google Map picture that I kind of blew up. Made it a little warped, but I wanted you to see how close the pool house is to the edge. I mean, it's in danger of going over the bank at any time. This is a ground shot. This was an unusually low tide the day I was there. But as you can see, basically a vertical slope. It's been eroding for years. This is looking south towards the James River Bridge, which is, can't really see it very well, but it's right behind, considerably far away, but behind this pier. This is the Newport News shoreline over here. Looking back now in the northerly direction, again, this is more of a typical low water area here, and this is an ordinary high water, and this is more of an unusually high storm high water. And you can see the slumping and collapsing of the bank that's occurring here and has been occurring for quite some time. The property does slope down eventually and into a low area here, but they are not proposing to work in that low area where there are some tidal wetlands. And I'll leave that shot up. Again, the project will start about here and end in approximately this location. One of the unique things about this project is there is a code section, which you probably don't hear about very often, that allows for shoreline protection projects to be constructed within the bailer ground. And this is bailer ground along this entire reach of the shoreline. It goes right to mean low water. So what the code provides is if this agency, VIMS, and other state agencies deem the project to be the correct approach for a shoreline erosion project, that it can be placed within Baylor, but what the code further says is that we will basically remove that section of Baylor out of the Baylor survey. So if you approve this project, what will happen after it's constructed and we can clearly define the area that the structures have is I will send the engineering surveying crew out. We will survey a square around this and take it out of the Baylor survey. And one of the other caveats is in the law is that we have to determine that there's not really any resource on this Baylor ground. I'm pretty confident in telling you, as you saw how shallow that was, and the bottom is really hard there. It's a sand bottom, and it's shallow for a long ways out, that there is no shellfish resource in that area. So we will adjust our maps accordingly should you approve the project. It will have a considerable amount of impact. Again, you'll be acting as both the Beaches and Dunes Board and the subaqueous impacts. There's about 20,000, a little over 20,000 feet of jurisdictional beach involved. And as I noted, Allahoy County has not adopted the ordinance yet, so you're charged with acting as the board. The remainder of the project, about 50,000 square feet, is over state-owned land, which is a combination of beach fill and the structures themselves, the breakwater structures. Agency comments related to this project BIMS came out and did an extensive site visit and issued a shoreline report that advised that although the project does involve significant subaqueous and beach impacts along 700 linear feet of shoreline, they are justified given the site conditions. They further noted that the bank grading, the headland breakwaters, and the creation of beach is the preferred approach for stabilizing high bank erosion, and other breakwaters in the vicinity have been very effective, and that the landward extent of grading has been maximized in light of structures on the upland and the nearby roadway. They also noted that the project did appear to meet the criteria in the law related to erosion structures for the Bailey survey. They did not recommend any time of year restrictions. DEQ reviewed the project and indicated that a Virginia Water Protection Permit would not be needed. The Department of Conservation and Recreation also found the project acceptable. Game and Inland Fisheries reviewed the project, and they did recommend a time of year restriction related to anadromous fish from February 15th to June 30th, and I'll address that in my final recommendation. Virginia Department of Health indicated they have no objections and there were no other agency comments. So in conclusion, in summary, the shoreline here is currently experiencing moderate to severe erosion rates, and nearby properties have been similarly stabilized, and VIM supports proposed shoreline treatment. The applicant's agent has modified the bank grading landward to the greatest extent possible in light of the current structures. In light of that, staff believes that the actual conversion of subtidal habitat to beach habitat is appropriate in this instance. The beach portion of this project should not affect anadromous fish migration, and the area of beach fill and breakwaters will be placed in a very shallow nearshore area that shouldn't really affect migration because it's just so shallow in this area, even high tide. Therefore, we are not recommending any time of year restriction on the construction. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and considering all the factors contained within 28.2.1402, 28.2.1205, and 28.2.556, which is the Baylor section of the code, staff recommends approval of the project as submitted. And as I stated earlier, we will adjust our oyster ground lease maps to remove that section of Baylor. Additionally, it's not in your eval, but we are recommending a royalty for the beach fill over the subaqueous lands portion of the project only. We don't typically charge a royalty for breakwater structures, but we do typically charge for beach nourishment, and the rate we typically charge is 5 cents of the square foot. This project will have 46,000 square feet of beach fill, which will come out to a royalty of $2,300 in addition to the permit fee. Mr. Jim Gunn is the agent for the project. He was here earlier, but I think had another engagement, and I believe he's passed his proxy to Chris Fry, who will certainly be able to hopefully attempt to answer any questions that I can answer.
Anybody have any questions of Mr. Stagg at present time? Mr. Lane?
I noticed in Nolfi and the upstream end of the property, the structure's a lot closer to the top of the bank than it is in the lower end. Does that limit the angle of slope? Is your slope angle going to be uniform the whole length of the property, or is it?
Well, yes. For the most part, let's go back to this drawing. Except for this section where this riprap will be, that will be 1.5 to 1. But the way he's scalloping the grading and then doing the filling where he can't do the grading because of the structures, they're going to try to maintain a 2-to-1 slope, basically, on all the areas. So the cut areas will be 2-to-1, the filled areas will be 2-to-1. And
well, is that upstream end going to be still a steeper slope than desirable because of that limitation?
Well, I mean, 2-to-1 is desirable. I mean, anything greater than that is problematic. But they've got to try to tie into some of the existing property, both downstream and then upstream. The bank actually is not as tall. So it will, I think they can tie that in and grade it in a kind of a curved manner there at the end. It will tie into that slope. Because as it goes down the road there, it bottoms out. And it's almost at sea level.
Further questions? Thank you, Ben. Is the applicant represented, present, wishes to be heard?
I'm here if you have any questions.
That'd be fine. Is there anyone here in opposition to the project? The matter's before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Good
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's clear that the level of erosion that's occurring at the site is severe, and I think this is a well-conceived plan to address that and stabilize the shoreline and protect the existing structure. I think at this point, I'll move to accept staff's recommendation for approval.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Tanker. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.